Well, good afternoon, folks, out there in the internet land. Pastor Gene here. We're going to be going into the lesson tonight, the Florida Bible Institute, Level 2, Lesson 3. It's called The Doctrine of God, Part 3. And let's open up in prayer and we'll get started. Father, I thank you for the honor and privilege of being here tonight to be teaching. I ask God, your anointing of your Holy Spirit to be upon me tonight as I bring forth this message. Father God, it's all about you. And Lord, we're learning about you and your doctrine, Father God. And I ask, Lord, to anoint those who hear this message. Give them an open heart, Father God. Open the eyes of their hearts that they may receive the word that's proclaimed here tonight. And we thank you for this honor and this privilege of gathering together to look at your word, Father God, and learn from your word. We pray for an anointing of your Holy Spirit now in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. All right. We're in the Doctrine of God, Part 3. And you were to read the Gospel of Luke and John chapter 11. But your memory verse. Did you learn your memory verse? It was a very easy one. Say it to one another.
Yep.
Go ahead. Say it to your wife.
God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth.
Amen. God is spirit, and those that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. To better understand how God is identified with man, so that man could better identify with him. That's our objective tonight. To better understand how God identified with man, and also how man could better identify with him. In our previous studies of the doctrine of God, we found that there were some interesting discoveries and observations concerning God and light. Remember that? And we have questioned ourselves, asking ourselves, on what basis have we determined that God existed? We looked at that. And in doing so, we looked at the reality of the creation as it speaks of a creator. And the very existence of man himself demands a creator. I mean, we just didn't happen. We were created. We are created beings, just like the angels are created beings. The Word of God, the Scriptures tells us this of the creator as Jehovah God. And the Scriptures reveal to us the existence of God, and the veracity of the Scriptures are born out in the universe. In all of creation, in creation man himself, and we always bear in mind that that which is created is never greater than the Creator. And we find that and see that with the fall of man, because a created being tried to overtake the Creator, Lucifer, and he was cast down. And now he is trying to destroy God's creation, mankind. He wants to be their God, but in doing so, to cause them to have eternal damnation, just like he's going to one day. So, we have observed that God is omnipresent, isn't he? And that means that he's everywhere present at all times. We know that he's omniscient, which means that he's all-knowing. We know that he's omnipotent, which means he's all-powerful. So, our God, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, Jehovah God, he is everywhere present at all time. He is all-knowing. And he is omnipotent, all-powerful. So there's nothing that he can do. And remember last week we talked, what is one characteristic that man has that God doesn't? He can't fear. Who's God going to fear? Right? He is God. And when we speak of the attributes of God, we mean his inherent characteristics. And when we speak of his essence, we mean that his individual, real, and ultimate nature. That's God's nature. That's his essence. So by having a better understanding of God's attributes, his characteristics, and his nature, we can better relate to him and identify him as our Heavenly Father. Because you get to know him. You get to know his characteristics. You get to know his essence. You get to know what he is, who he is, and we can better relate to him as with our Heavenly Father. So with those thoughts in mind, we approach the following assignment, and we'll get into it. Tatik, would you go out front there and put that boat lock? You did it. Thank you. So we're just getting through the introduction, Tatik. So we're you were asked to, in your own words, to paraphrase John 4:24. And as we read the scripture, John 4:24, we find out that God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. You were asked to paraphrase that, in other words, put it in your own words. So your answer should have come along with something similar to this, that God is a spirit. He is not limited by time or space or a body, but he's everywhere present at all times. Those who worship him must do so in absolute truth, not only spiritually, but emotionally, mentally, verbally, from the heart, in recognition of who he is and all that he is, all that he's done, all that he is doing, or all that he's going to do. In other words, if you're going to worship God, you have to do it in spirit and in truth. So what is truth, you know? In other words, you have to come clean with God. You can't go before the presence of God and expect to worship him with sin hanging all over your life. Why? Because you know his essence, you know his characteristics, that God and sin does not mix. God only knows two places for sin. Kill it, or it's on you. And we don't want it on us. So that's why, you know, we have an advocate, Jesus Christ of righteousness, that we can go to the Father. So all of these characteristics and attributes that we studied helps us to better understand that in John 4:24, that God is a spirit. He's not limited by time or space, so it doesn't matter where you at. You could be in the lowest depths of the earth. God is there. You could be at the height of the highest heights. God is there. North, south, east, or west, it doesn't matter. God is there. He's all present everywhere. And you say, how can that be? I don't know, but I believe. His word tells me that, and I know he is a spirit. He created, spoke into being everything that is, everything we can see, everything that we can't see. Everything God has created. The universes, the planets, the stars, the gases, everything, even those things that are invisible that we can't see with the naked eye. And probably it's good for us that we can't see it. If we could see in the spirit realm of what's around us, what's trying to minister to us, and all the stuff that's going on, it would probably scare us to death. But God is in control. We are purchased possession by him. So God is a spirit. He's not limited by time or space. He doesn't have a body. Now, when Christ came to the earth, he took on the form of a body of his own creation. But God doesn't have a body, and he's all present at all times. And those who worship him must do it in absolute truth. In other words, if you know there's sin in your life, you can't come clean. You can't go to God in truth. Because first, you have to be truthful with yourself and say, Father, this is in my life and I know it and I don't want it there. And get rid of it. Confess it as sin. Come clean before God so you can enter into His presence. How do you approach the throne of God? Clean hands and what? A pure heart. There can't be any envy in your heart. There can't be any jealousy, backbiting, any lying, deception. And many times we as individuals deceive our own selves to thinking we're more holier than we really are. The Bible gives us insight into God as a personality. You were asked that in the following complete the sentence by writing in the specific emotion that God feels as described in the Scripture. And you were given the Scripture of John 3:16. And this reveals that God loves all humans unconditionally. And He would not will that any should die and go to hell, but that all would be saved. But all won't, will they? Because they will not receive Him as Lord. So John 3:16 reveals that God loves all humans. And normally, this scripture is the first that everybody learns. Other than they want to do an easy one that says, Jesus wept. Remember, we covered that last week. But for God so loved the world, not just the United States, but the world, from time, eternity, from the beginning. God loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him would not perish or should not perish, but have everlasting life. So that shows us that God loves all these humans that He's created unconditionally. Proverbs 6:16. Proverbs 6:16. You should have answered something similar to this, but in Proverbs 6:16, let me get over there real quick. In Proverbs 6:16, the Word of God tells us, these six things doth the Lord hate, yea, seven are an abomination to Him. So, what are these things? This is what God hates. Let's read them. So we find out in Proverbs 6:16 reveals that God hates sin, doesn't He? He hates sin in every expression and every level. These six things tells us right here that the Lord hates them. And He said, a proud look, a lying tongue, hands that shed innocent blood. Man, where are we at today with that one? Can you imagine all of those who voted for abortion? All of those who are practicing, set up the laws? All of those who are actually practicing? They have a hand in shedding innocent blood, killing that innocent life in the womb. God hates it, doesn't He? He says so right there. The child in the womb is innocent. It cannot defend itself. And we know of instances where they've even allowed the child to be born and then still kill it. How far have we sunk? God says these are abominations. A heart that devises wicked imaginations. Feet that are swift to running to mischief. And you see, we see that daily almost, don't we? People don't know what the cause are. They go out there and they start rioting, causing riots, running to, hey, we're going to meet here. Yeah, let's go. Feet swift, running to mischief, and causing hate, discontent, destroying property. God hates it. A false witness that speaks lies. And he that soweth discord among the brethren. That's within the church, within God's church. Sowing discord, speaking, the hiss of the serpent, here and here and there. So, Proverbs 16 shows us that God hates sin in every expression and every level. In 1 Peter 5:5, just turn there with me when we go to them. 1 Peter 5:5. First Peter 5:5 says, likewise, you younger, submit yourself to the elders. Yea, all of you be subject to one another and be clothed with humility. For God resist the proud and give grace to the humble. So we find out here that God resists those proud. And he gives grace to those who are humble. And he's telling the younger to submit to the elders. Boy, we don't see that today, do we? God hates it. Genesis 6:6. Genesis 6:6. We find, and it repenteth the Lord that he had made man on the earth, and it grieved him at his heart. That word repenteth, repented, translates to pity. Pity the man. And it grieved God. Why? Because his own creation disobeyed him, and it grieved his own heart. So we find in Genesis that God sees every sin of every sinner, and sooner or later judges and punishes the unrepented sinner. In John 10:30, we ask you to paraphrase that. John 10:30. John 10:30 tells us that I, this is Jesus speaking, and my Father are one. I and my Father are one. Jesus is the Messiah and is as his Father, Jehovah God. And as such, as one in character, ethic, and attributes and purpose, are they one? I and my Father are one. And you were asked, excuse me, Hebrews 1, chapter 1, verses 1 through 3. In Hebrews chapter 1, verses 1 through 3, he says, God, who at sundry times, this is various times, translates to various times, and in divers manners, in many ways, divers transfers to many ways, translates to that. So God, at various times and in many manners, spake in time past unto the fathers, by the prophets, hath in these last days, spoken unto us by his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the worlds. So who, that's Jesus, being the brightness of his glory, that's God, and the express image of his person, and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had himself purged our sins, sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high. Excuse me. So we see here that God has in times past and in different ways spoke to our ancestors by and through the prophets, and has in these last days spoken to us by and through his Son, Jesus Christ, who is the heir of all he possesses, and who is the very representation of his glory, And who has the universe together, or holds the universe together, by his word? He has single-handedly cleansed us from our sins by his death, his burial, his resurrection, and now sits at the right hand of God the Father himself. So, it's by the word of God that these universes today and all the planets are held together, because he spoke it into being. It's by his word that he tells the ocean, you can only come this far upon shore. It's by his word, by his word, by his word. All things are created. So God, as the creator of man, understands man's emotions fully, doesn't he? He knows you, Tatik. He knows what you're going through. He knows me. He knows what rattles my cage. He knows Sharon and Fred, what gets under their skin. He knows our emotions. He knows how we're going to react. How does he know that? Omnipresent, omniscient, and excuse me, all-knowing, all-powerful, everywhere. So not only is God a personality, but God has personality. That personality was revealed in the person, the life, and the ministry of Jesus. Jesus didn't do anything that went against the character and the essence of his Father God. And he did it here on the earth without sin. So God became man so that he could completely identify with man, and his Son, Jesus Christ, he became his own sacrifice for the sins of man, as a willing and sinless sacrifice for the sins of man on the altar, the cross. Hebrews 9:22 tells us that almost all things are by the law purged with blood, and without the shedding of blood is what? No remission, is there? No remission to sin. The blood has to be shed, and God himself became, through the life of the Lord Jesus Christ, that perfect, sinless, and willing blood sacrifice upon the altar, the cross itself. Why? Because he loves the world, and he gave his only begotten Son for the world. And his only stipulation is, believe in me. Confess with your mouth. Believe that the Lord Jesus Christ is my Son. In light of what you have studied thus far concerning God, the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, we ask you to paraphrase these following verses. In Hebrews 4:14, we find the word says, seeing then that we have a great high priest that is passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. So we ask you to paraphrase that. Should be something like this. As a high priest, Jesus of Christ represented me before the throne of God, the Father, I can hold on to my faith in full confidence in Jesus Christ. Because if Christ be in me and I'm in him, Christ is sitting at the right hand of God the Father, making intercessions for me, for you, as we come before him. Say, Father, I have these petitions. Father, I have sinned. We have that right because we've been made an heir through the blood of Jesus Christ, bought and purchased. We are purchased possession with God's Holy Spirit living and dwelling within each one of his believers here on this earth. And he has given us the freedom to come boldly before the throne of God through Jesus Christ. Hebrews 4:15, for we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like we are, yet without sin. Have you ever been in a job that you weren't sure about, but you were going to have to task people who were working for you to do that job. So you went and did that job so you would have experience in it and know all about it. I've done that in military service. It's almost like Jesus came and became the very thing that he created so he could live what we had to live through. And he was tempted in all points. And you say, oh, I don't think he was tempted in this area of sexual perversion. It says all points, doesn't it? So don't try to categorize where he was not tempted. He was tempted in all points, yet he did not sin. I wish we could say that about ourselves. But we have an advocate. It is Jesus Christ, because he resurrected that third day like he said he did. And when he rose to go back to be with the Father, he now sits there making intercession for us. It's like we have a lawyer, an advocate there pleading our case. You know, Satan accusing Tatik to God. And Tatik comes to the Father through Jesus Christ. And he said, Father, I've sinned. And Jesus Christ tells the Father, it's under the blood. It's under the blood. He's my child. He's your child. It's under the blood. It's been confessed. So Satan doesn't have a leg to stand on against you. So don't let him accuse you. 16, Hebrews 4:16. Let us therefore, he said, because Jesus became our high priest, and we have a high priest that cannot be touched by the feelings of our infirmities, he but was in all points tempted like we are, yet without sin. So he's now telling us here in Hebrews to let us therefore come boldly into the throne of God of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. So when you have a time of need, maybe it's a stronghold in your life. Maybe it's a need. In time of need, you go to the Father through Christ, because he tells us that there's nothing you can go with God with through Christ that Christ did not go through himself here on this earth in temptations. So God, in conclusion, God is a spirit. God became man. God is revealed on this earth in the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is God in the flesh. When you more understand that God completely identified himself with man in Jesus Christ, so then that man can completely identify with God in Jesus Christ, you're well on your way to a closer walk with God. So blessed be you as you continue to grow in the Lord. But always remember that there's nothing that's ever happened on this earth that God didn't know about. God created the heavens and the earth. There's nothing new, folks. There's no next big thing. Throughout all of eternity, God has always been here. God will always be here from beginning to the end. He said, I am the Alpha and the Omega. Jesus Christ came to fulfill the purpose that man may be united again with holy God. Because sinful man can't be united to God in and of themselves. It only comes through the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, who became the supreme sacrifice for all mankind. All mankind won't procreate it, though. All mankind will not accept. There are those out there who hate God and don't even know why they hate God. They spew out violence and all kinds of things against any Christian, anything that has Christ's name attached to it. They hate it. Why? Because they're not children of God. They're children of the devil. And unless God intervenes and the Holy Spirit speaks to them, or a person goes to them and witnesses to them proclaiming the gospel, and the Holy Spirit convicts them, they will wind up in hell with their father, who is Satan. Not you. You exercise your will to come to the Father through the Lord Jesus Christ. Any questions on the lesson tonight? Let me close this in prayer. Father, I thank you once again for this privilege and this honor to be here tonight. I ask, Lord God, to take this word and let others ponder upon it, Father God. And Lord, I pray that those who will grow closer, learning more about God, His attributes, His essence, Father God, and how we are like God in many respects, Father God, in attributes, in essence, and Father God, in our attitudes and our motives. Father, bless these who hear this message. Anoint them, Father God, to grow closer and closer to you. Father God, I pray, Lord God, that you would give them a greater understanding of your word, more faith, God, that they may be able to comprehend and understand your word, that they may grow closer to you with every day and each walk with you, Father God. Bless them, Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, I pray. Amen.